Ah, that's definitely the benefit of standing up here, isn't it? I'm going to take my mask off. Well, good evening. Wasn't it a great match last night? Who was watching? Ash Barty. What grit, what determination. 5-1 down in the second set and she claws back. It's impressive to say the least. And how good to have won a Grand Slam on home soil. We're all rejoicing. I simply had to take a moment and share that with you all, and with you especially, Lauren. I know it matters. But tonight we're looking not at Ash Barty, but Psalm 71. And it's a great psalm. I didn't quite think that when I was first given it to preach on, though. Now, be honest with me. How many of you out there number Psalm 71 among your favourite psalms? Who can recite it for me? I'm in good company, I see that. But this is the thing, like Bill last week, I love God's word. I love how it instructs me and encourages me. It teaches and challenges me. The more I dwell in it and reflect on it. That is, to meditate in God's word, like Psalm 119 told us last week. This psalm has, in the past, been a favourite for those of old age. There's many references to perhaps being weary and tired and grey. So I wondered if someone was trying to tell me something as I clocked another circuit around the sun this week. It could be. Whatever the reason, I'm glad to have had time in this psalm. The more I've sat with it, the more I have benefited. And what struck me, what stood out time and time again, is the psalmist's trust in God. Psalm 71 has weaved all the way through it a beautiful thread of trust, a thread made up of pleas, statements and declarations that help us see the who, the why and the how of our psalmist's trust and the benefits therein. So tonight, for a brief time, I want to encourage you through Psalm 71 to keep trusting God. And like the psalmist, to practice and lean into trusting him and thereby enjoy and benefit the gift it is. If you've got a Bible with you or on your phone, I encourage you to have it open in front of you. Some things will turn up on the screen, but not all, and you might find it beneficial to flick back down there. And if trusting God is a new thought for you and you're checking out the God of the Bible here with us tonight, then I pray that you will hear of a God worthy of your trust and you'll be able to consider putting your trust in him too. We're going to look through the psalmist's eyes, put ourselves in his shoes and consider three things. Why the psalmist trusts God, how the psalmist trusts God, and the gift of rightly placed trust. Now, trust is rather important, isn't it? We exercise trust in all sorts of ways all the time, and without it, we wouldn't get or go very far, I think. Let's consider our roads, for instance. We trust the education of our drivers, the licensing process to make for trustworthy drivers on the road who will know and obey the rules. Now, some of you are going through that arduous process just now. 120 hours, is it? Something like that? Yeah. Well, thank you. That makes it possible in a general way for us to go about our days, travelling to and fro on the roads. That's a society-level trust. It works because there are agreed-to standards and there are rules and regulations and law enforcements if you don't. It mostly works. Personal trust is at a different level. It's not built on rules and regulations. It's based on relationship, a knowing of the other. This trust is built across time. And trust is fundamental to our flourishing as people. We need trustworthy relationships to flourish, and without them we can't function very well. And the most personal, the most fundamental relationship is on display here with the one responsible for it all. When the chips are down and it's a matter of life and death, our psalmist shows us not how to take life into your own hands, but how to place it into the hands of a trustworthy God. So let's get started and look at why the psalmist trusts God. What do we learn about the basis for our psalmist's trust in the Lord? If you're going to trust someone, it's important that you know who they are. Our psalm shows us that this trust is long and deeply founded. The language used in the psalm emphasises the psalmist's sense of connection with the Lord. It's deeply personal. The Lord is not some far-off, distant deity, but he's near and known. So much so that our psalmist, and look, for the sake of ease, let's call him Joe, he feels at his ease launching in straight to an appeal. Verse 1, in you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. That's familiarity in a good sense. Joe is in distress and he cries out. He doesn't rest on ceremony nor the right God has to be approached with awe and reverent worship. We immediately see that Joe knows and is familiar with God. He owns and leans into the relationship he has with the Lord. And that comfort is threaded all through. Let's look at those examples up there. Verse 2, turn your ear to me and save me. You are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, for you have been my hope, my confidence. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly, God, to help me. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Joe knows God and calls on him as his God. He's not bashful or backward in his prayers. There's no sense of, maybe God, you could just, perhaps if you've looked in favour on me this week and I've done well enough, you might consider, no, I don't know, help me out a bit. No, Joe is direct and confident as he calls on the Lord. Where does his confidence come from? Well, it comes from what Joe knows about the God he's praying to. And let's see if we can list them. Verse 2, God is righteous. That means he's without fault and perfectly just. He trusts God is able to rescue and deliver him. Verse 3, God is his rock and fortress, a safe and secure place. Verse 5, God is sovereign, meaning in charge over all things. This is the basis of his hope and confidence ever since he was young. Verse 6, God is creator and has given him life and sustains him. He praises God for this. And all through verse 14 to 18, he knows of God's righteous deeds, saving acts, mighty acts, marvelous deeds and power. Verse 19, he knows God has done great things and there is none like him. Verse 20, he knows God has charge over his life, the good and the ill, and he knows God is able to restore him again. And verse 22, he knows God is faithful and the Holy One of Israel. Now, these are not flights of fancy for Joe. These are not his wild imaginings. He knows the God of Scripture. He's calling on promises and recalling to mind the great things, both big and small, that God has done. Let's think, calling Abraham to himself and promising him a son that seemed impossible, and from there bringing about the nation of Israel. God's might and power displayed in saving the Israelites from cruelty, from slave labor in Egypt. Knowing the covenant relationship God established with Moses, those 10 commandments, the promise of blessing in faithful following and of curse for unfaithfulness, a living and active, genuine relationship between God and his people. Joe knows the story of Joseph too, that though on the ground it looked for many times like evil had won, God had bigger and better plans in store, a rescue mission. Joseph, who was cast low, was eventually crowned with honour and comforted by restoration to his father and family in the end, all the while saving both his family and his adopted nation from famine. And that's only a sample of the history of God and his people. This is the God Joe, our psalmist, knows and trusts. This one is his rock of refuge. He's no pie in the sky when you die. To trust someone, you need to get to know them, don't you? And that's fair enough. And I want to say, God is very fair. He doesn't expect you to trust him without reason. He says, check my track record. Just like Joe, you can read up, know me, know who I am. I am the trustworthy one. I keep my promises. I'm faithful and steadfast. And you can read all about me here. So knowing God is trustworthy, What does it look like for Joe to put his trust into practice? So our second point. How does the psalmist Joe trust God? Well, firstly, trust is something that needs to be enacted. Now remember, and this is a very poor example, but in Aladdin, there is a moment when he asks Princess Jasmine to step out in faith and join him, and I'm sorry for the earworm, on a magic carpet ride. And he asks her what? Do you trust me? And the demonstration of whether she trusts him or not is all whether or not she'll step aboard. So how does Joe demonstrate his trust in the God he knows? Well, for a start, it sounds like pretty dire circumstances for Joe. And in that, he has run to the Lord to be his rock of refuge. This is enacted trust. He turns to God. He's surrounded, so to speak, by 100 bad guys with swords. Evil and cruel, people are after him. Verse 4. They speak against him and conspire to kill him, verse 10. They taunt him and suggest God has abandoned him. Joe is in danger. Circumstances are difficult, grim, hard, but he's sticking with God. He's waiting on God, crying out to him to act to save him. He digs in and remembers all that God has done and all that God means to him, his rock, refuge and fortress, his hope and confidence. Joe recalls all he knows about God and what it means for him, and he sticks with God come what may. I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. It's kind of like saying, I refuse to let go. I will not be moved. Whether people see me and are encouraged by that or choose to disparage, you are my strong refuge. For he knows God is able to save. God is able to bring him through troubled days, be they many and bitter, to restore him once more, as it says in verse 20, just like he did with Joseph. Twice, Joe names God the Sovereign Lord. God's sovereignty, his rule and reign over all the good and ill, is important for Joe. Trusting the Sovereign Lord means you give over having to know exactly why or how everything happens. And this is a hard one because we like to know why. But Joe trusts God's purposes and trusts his goodness enough to help him navigate a way through valleys of shadow and darkness, distress and danger, without always knowing how or why or when. Joe chooses to trust and entrust his circumstances into the Lord's hands. Do you see how he outlines what he'd like and how he'd like things to go in verse 12? May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. But he's leaving the results to God. This is trust in action. He asks God to do it, and he leaves it with him. Now, I'm not saying that's a quick and easy process, but having done so, Joe is relieved of his burden, having entrusted it to God, and he's able to move on. And where does he go? Joe moves to rejoice in the hope he has and to declare God's praise. And that's what he's keen to keep doing, and he does so kind of for the rest of the psalm. The God he knows and the God he trusts is the God he wishes to tell everyone about. Perhaps then they too can trust the God of righteous deeds and saving acts. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvellous deeds. It is his reason for asking God to sustain him when he's old and grey, so that this important news can make it all the way down to the next generation. He wants the joy of telling them about the God who can be known and trusted. This is his purpose, his raison d'etre. There's a reason for declaring the goodness and trustworthiness of God to each other. It keeps reorienting us to the true reality. It gives us God's perspective. It reminds us of God's work and way. couple of psalms down in 73 is a perfect example of that. We're quick to forget, you see. Whether we're young or old, we all benefit from sharing and declaring God at work in our lives. Just this week at my growth group gathering, I was encouraged to hear of answers to prayer and expressions of leaning in and trusting God despite difficult circumstances. We need that. It's why God put us together in the church as brothers and sisters, to have community and to remember together. That's why small group gatherings are so healthy and helpful for us. So we learn and borrow and copy off others, being spurred on as we watch active trust in God at work. I was particularly struck by one friend this week who related how in working from home they've found it helpful to grab out their guitar when it's a spot in the day and he's free to sing a song of praise, something that comes to mind that reminds them God is there and God is part of their day, and they find it really helps with handling the pressures of their work. I think that's just fantastic. That's trust enacted. He might not have known it at the time, but he's copying the psalmist. See how he ends his prayer? Verses 22 to 24 are full of praise. When circumstances threaten to overwhelm, nothing beats the clouds away quite like praise. Andy Little brought that to our attention when he directed us through Psalm 100. In praising God, we declare what is true and remind ourselves and each other of what is true about God. I know of two students who once spent a year using the voice message app, either on Facebook or WhatsApp, whichever, to read out scripture to each other once a day, simply to spur each other on, to hear someone else, someone they trust, declaring God's truth to them. It's a simple yet great idea for growing in knowing and trusting God. So on to our third point, the gift of rightly placed trust. I want to touch on just a few benefits I see Joe gaining as a result of his trust in the God of Scripture. Because Joe is sure of who he trusts, recounting what he knows of the God revealed in Scripture, that the Holy One of Israel is faithful and righteous, able to save and deliver and restore his people and comfort them, that he is the Creator God who has given life, and he's the sovereign God who is in control of all things. From this place of certain trust, he can step out with confidence and conviction. He's not cornered by his circumstances. His sovereign God, who is in charge of all things, is the one he can bring all his needs to. Knowing he's made by a sovereign God and sustained by him gives him confidence to entrust his times, be they good or bad, back to God. Joe doesn't need to falter when things don't go according to plan, because God has the ultimate plan. And God can work through these circumstances for his good too, even though Joe doesn't know how. What a freeing way to approach life. What a gift. I don't know about you, but the pandemic has given me many opportunities to entrust my plans to God, to see them go awry, and to trust again and watch for what God is doing. Being able to let go of knowing, to trust God with his times, frees Joe up to keep living for the Lord and declaring his praises. Knowing God sees him and knows him and has created him to live for his glory gives Joe wonderful freedom, both to cry out in his distress and to carry on declaring God's praises, which may well be what Joe was set to do in the temple. And finally, trusting God means for Joe that he's never truly alone. The ever-present God is always with him. And that is a deep source of comfort. So that's Joe, the psalmist. What about us? Who is it that we trust? Now, Joe had plenty to draw on in knowing God's trustworthiness, and we get to build on that, don't we? Not only is God all those things, but he is the God who has delivered us from death to life through his son Jesus. It's a fixed reality anchored in a moment of history when Jesus stretched out his arms and died on the cross for our sins, and 3 days later rose again to new life, promising all who trust in him life eternal. Jesus ultimately answers Job's request for redemption and deliverance. The enemy of death is defeated. It also says in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, that Jesus came expressly that we might know God the Father. We get to look at Jesus and who he is, what he said, how he acted during his life on earth, and know an embodied reality of the sovereign God. We have a wealth of reasons to entrust ourselves to God. And what does that look like? How might we, like Job, enact our trust? Well, at the very least, we can follow Job in turning to God, our Heavenly Father, in prayer, calling out to him in all our circumstances, letting him know our cares, our concerns, our distresses, our troubles. We can get to know God better, who he is, what he's like, through reading the book he's written, that we might know him. We can remind and tell each other of the things God has done, the big stuff that is our rock-solid foundation, that God has loved us and sent Jesus for us, that we might know him and be made right with him. And we can do that in small groups, in prayer groups, in church week by week, with friends day by day. Right now, I'm searching with some time pressure for a new house with my housemate Carmen. It's getting a little bit sticky, but God, knowing that God sees me and loves me and calls on me to cast all my cares on him, I am taking those slowly rising levels of anxiety to him in prayer. I've been inviting others to pray with and for me in this. And I've been recalling and declaring when I have opportunity that, you know what? God has never left me without a roof over my head yet. So in God's kindness, I've had an immediate opportunity to act on the encouragement from this psalm, to trust. Now, I'm not doing it perfectly, but I am practicing. And when I do, my burden lifts as I call to mind the bigness and the goodness of God, that my times are in his hands and there's nothing to fear. I've seen others do likewise in far more distressing and bigger and troubling circumstances. We need the encouragement of others and to practice trusting God with the little things so that we can trust him in the bigger things too. For he is our rock of refuge to which we can continually go. Perhaps your situation is more serious and distressing, and you are facing days of trouble, many and bitter. Can I remind you that Jesus has said, "I am always with you," and that he has promised to end all the suffering when he returns. Long for his return, hold on to the hope that you have. Speak to God, seek him, and ask others to stand with you and encourage you that God is sovereign and you're in his hands. So what about the benefit of trusting God who is revealed in Scripture to us? Much of it is just the same as that for Job. Confidence and conviction in knowing that God has a track record of keeping his promises. He is a faithful God. We therefore have a sure hope and a confidence for the future, pandemic or otherwise, for he has promised to make all things right in the end. So even if our circumstances don't say so, we can stand on God our rock and his sure promises. This is our strong refuge in the stormy waters of life. Knowing and trusting God means who we are and what our purpose is set. God has set the parameters for our life. He knows the start and the finish. He's called us to be his and rescued and redeemed as his people in Christ, that we might live lives to his glory. And there are many other things that come out of that knowing and trusting God. I'm unpacking just a few. You consider it like the corner of your favourite block of chocolate, a good place to start. Get stuck in. The benefit of trusting God is knowing that the world is in his hands our times are in his hands too. God is good and loving, and he's shown us that. He's demonstrated his love for us on the cross, dying for us while we were yet enemies, to make a way for us to be right with him forever. That means we can lean into this and live boldly for Jesus. Knowing God is in control gives us peace and a freedom to live for love and to risk hurt, aware we are ultimately forever loved and known by God himself. And so we can get on with declaring his praises, letting the next person know there is a God worth trusting with their lives too. So, what has encouraged you from Psalm 71 tonight? Where is God asking you to perhaps grow in trusting him? What and where would you be relieved by knowing God as your rock of refuge? Where is God calling on you to take comfort in his might, his power, and trustworthiness? Where is he challenging you to stand in him against the storms of life or the taunts of this world? Maybe it is that you can be a Joe to someone else and encourage them with your trust in God, in his love, grace, and mercy to us in Christ. Or maybe Joe the psalmist has provoked you to find out more about this God who can be your rock of refuge, who has done all that needs to be done to bring you into relationship with himself through his son Jesus. Wherever you are in your journey, God is pleased that you're here and delights to have you respond to him. So let me pray. Father God, we thank you that you are the faithful, steadfast one, that you are a sure and certain hope. Thank you for revealing yourself to us through Scripture and fully and finally in your Son, Jesus, our Saviour and Lord. Please help us this day to learn and grow in our trust of you, that we might live lives to the praise of your glory. Now and always. Amen.